In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who comes to us and gives us opportunity after opportunity to fail. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was a friend's birthday party, and we were invited to go to this Mexican restaurant in Tallahassee that is now being changed into something else. And we went down into the kind of lower level of this Mexican restaurant. And there, as we were having chips and salsa and drinking margaritas, we were doing what you normally do when you're at one of these functions, is that you just start talking to the stranger who is across the table from you or who is next to you. And you begin to find out about who they are and what they're like and all of that good stuff. And we were across the table from this lady that I thought was pretty interesting, actually. She was a regional manager for a bagel restaurant. And I was very interested in how that all worked out and what it meant to be a regional manager at a bagel restaurant, and you know what were kind of some of the things that you had to do, because I am very interested in what other people do in their jobs, because I just figure that your job is so much more infinitely interesting than mine. And so I was talking to her, and we were talking about HR issues, and we were talking about how much travel she had to do, and all of that. And we were getting along pretty famously. It was going really well. And, of course, we got to that moment in the conversation where all of a sudden it wasn't me asking questions about what she did, but then she turned it on me and she said, "Well, what do you do?" And I have a lot of cards that I can play in this situation if I need to. I can say that I am the leader of a small nonprofit. I can say that I do some counseling work with students. I can say all sorts of stuff, but instead of having this fly underneath the radar, I just flat out told her what I did, and I said, "Well, I am a pastor at a campus ministry at Florida State." And to which she looked at me and said, "Oh." And turned to the person next to her, struck up the conversation with the person next to her, and never talked to me again the entire evening. And it was frustrating. It was frustrating on so many levels. I wasn't really as hurt as much as I was frustrated, because I understand that, you know, some people have issues with the Christian church. Some people have issues with pastors. Some people have all of those. But the most frustrating thing was not that this person probably had been hurt by the church in some way, shape, or form. But the thing that was most frustrating to me was that I could not be heard by her anymore because of that. I could not find out about what that hurt was all about. I could not then get into a conversation about how maybe we're different as Lutherans than whatever she grew up, or maybe she grew up Lutheran, and maybe I could just mourn with her together about how at times we're probably not the greatest people in the world either. But I couldn't do any of that. I couldn't say any of that because she wouldn't hear me for whatever reason. And I couldn't then really defend myself. I couldn't defend who I was. I couldn't defend the church. I couldn't even defend Jesus, because she just wouldn't listen. I imagine that is what it was like to be Ezekiel, to have the Lord God appear to you in magnificent and crazy ways that it sometimes seem like they've been put together by Lewis Carroll himself. to appear in all of these strange visions and to tell Ezekiel, "Son of Adam, arise. I am sending you to a people, to this rebellious house, to speak my words." And then God says the part that Ezekiel probably feared the most. "And they may listen to you, or they may not. But they will know that there has been a prophet in their midst." To which I'm sure Ezekiel was kind of like, "Wait a second, God. If they know that I'm a prophet, then why are they not listening to me?" Which I think is how we approach life sometimes. It's how we approach those conversations that we have with people about our faith and what we believe. And it's probably how I felt when I was talking to that lady. If you know that I'm a pastor, you know that we can talk about this. You know that we can talk about the hurt in your life. And I can probably criticize pastors way better than what you can, because I am one. I know exactly how dirty and rotten we are. And so Ezekiel, going to these people of Israel, these people who know that he's a prophet, still don't listen. And I'm sure that at some level, Ezekiel feels like a failure. Just like we feel like we fail when we try to tell somebody about our faith, well, when we tell people, "Well, this is what I believe," and they look at us and they go, "Well, yeah, that's nice," or they say, "Well, I'm spiritual but not religious," or whatever it is that these people want to say to us, that really underneath it all says, "That's great, I'm not listening." And when they say that, we get hurt because we feel like they're saying something about us. It feels like they're saying that we are a failure, because they are failing to listen to us. And that can hurt a lot. In fact, I think it's because of that hurt that we are so reluctant at times to talk about our faith. I think we're reluctant to talk about our faith because we know that it might come at the risk of this failure, at the risk of somebody walking away from that conversation and saying, "Well, I didn't want to listen to that guy. He was just talking about Jesus. Ugh." And so because we know that there's a risk of failure, we just choose the easy option, which is to not get involved. And yet, that's not what is presented to us in all of these readings. In all of these readings, you have this sense of mankind, of people who follow God, grappling with this concept of failure. You have Ezekiel being sent to these people who may or may not listen, who knows. You have the people in the psalm crying out to God in the midst of a failure. You have Paul with this weird, like, third heaven thing that nobody really understands. But then later on, you get into the fact that he feels like a failure because he's got this thorn in his flesh that is also equally mysterious. And we all feel like failures because we read that and we go, "I have no idea what this means." And then we get to Jesus. And oddly enough, Jesus, the Son of God, the person that we worship, the one that we recognize as omnipotent, there in the Bible it says he could do no great work there. And you go, how can Jesus fail? How does that work? And we think it's so outside of who he is. to fail. But what we see in that gospel reading is that it's not Jesus' failure. It's the people around Jesus' failure to recognize who he is. It's not Ezekiel's failure. It's the people of Israel's failure to recognize that they should listen to a prophet. It's not Paul's failure to have this thorn in his flesh. It's simply Paul's misconstrued perspective on what it means to have that. We all have failure in our life. There's not a single person here who doesn't. And that's okay. And it's not okay because it's failure. And I think we go too far there sometimes. And we say, well, that's fine, I fail, you know, whatever. I'm just going to keep on failing. I like failing. Failing is delicious. Because it's not. If we do that, we're not recognizing what failure is. But we recognize that we have a God who comes to us in our failure. And who gives us another shot. He forgives us. He wipes our sins clean. He makes us new. And in the midst of that, it's actually very hard for us to feel fear failure as much as maybe what we did before. Because if we know that no matter how badly we fail, we can get up and we can go to God and we can say, Lord, I sinned, please forgive me of my sin. And we know that God is going to be there saying, I forgive you of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that then you're totally clean. You can go out there and you can fail again. And if you fail again, guess what you get to do? You get to come back here. You get to hear those words. I forgive you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you get to go and you get to fail again. And it's great. Because you don't have to fear it anymore. And you can go out there and you can try a billion different ways to talk to those Israelites. You can try in a billion different ways to finally be heard. Because that's what God asks us to do. And recognizes as a good thing in our lives. That eventually one day we maybe will even hear words of victory instead of failure. We'll hear somebody say, well, that Jesus thing, that's pretty crazy. I think you're in a cult, but I want to know more. And then you get to go, yes! Let me tell you more about this God who has forgiven all of the failures that I have had in telling other people up to you. And now he's given me this opportunity to tell you more about him. We have a God who loves to forgive our failures and to set us on a path anew. That's what's happening to you today. I forgive you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.